chapter 18, verse number 0. So as you all know, in this chapter 18, which is a summary of the entire teachings of Sri Krishna in the Gita, he has concluded his teachings in verse number 66. So what are the final verses up to verse number 78? It's basically his instructions to the students, to the teacher also. And in last week's verse 67, we saw that if you have this knowledge, who are the people who you can share it with? He gave us certain qualities, who are qualified people whom we can share this knowledge with. Another way to look at this verse is, do we also have these qualities in order to attain this knowledge? So verse 67 can be looked at both ways. One is, if we have attained this knowledge, who are we eligible, or who are we supposed to share it with? Number two, do we as the students of the Gita have these qualities in us, that the more of these qualities we have, it means it is easier for us to receive, to retain this knowledge. Now, in today's verse 68, Krishna speaks now about the teacher of the knowledge. So 67, he spoke about the receiver. Now in verse 68, he speaks about the one who imparts this knowledge. So he says in verse 68, Yaha meaning the one who, Abhidasyati, which is in the second line, Abhidasyati means one who speaks or imparts. The person who speaks or imparts what? Imam, this. When he says imam, meaning this, which is in the first line, the word imam, meaning this sacred dialogue between Sri Krishna and Arjuna. So the one who imparts this sacred dialogue between Sri Krishna and Arjuna, which is contained in the Bhagavad Gita. And what type of dialogue is it? Here Krishna qualifies this dialogue as saying it's not just simply a conversation between two people, but it is paramam guhyam. Paramam meaning the highest, the most supreme. Guhyam means secret. It is the supreme secret, the secret of all secrets, for the very fact, for the very reason that it deals with the most subtle topic. The most subtle topic, which is eternal, which is non-changing aspect in creation. Whereas every other knowledge deals with the changing creation. This is the only knowledge that deals with the changeless, eternal substance in creation, which is called the Atma or consciousness. Which is no other than, who is this Atma or consciousness? Who is this Atma or consciousness? Sorry? We ourselves. It is telling us who you are, who am I? That's what Sri Ramakrishna says. Always make that inquiry, who am I, who am I? So it is telling you that is what you are. You are not this body. It is such a subtle knowledge, not easy to understand. So practically we look at it, we know that we have this body, but the unfortunate thing is we claim we are this body. There is a difference. For example, if you buy a car, you are the owner of the car. You sit in the car, you drive the car, you are the master of the car, you control the car in whichever direction it wants to go. But do you ever say, I am the car? You never say that. You are very clear that the car is a separate identity and you, the driver, are a separate identity. So similarly, we are this consciousness in this body. We are the masters of this body. But we should never ever say, I am the body. We should understand this very clearly. There are two identities here. One is the material, gross identity, which is the body.
One is our true identity, which is the eternal consciousness. So this knowledge makes us think. That's why it is a very subtle secret. Not everybody can understand, not everybody can grasp it. It is not easy. It's a very subtle matter. And especially last week I was giving a talk on this. Somebody came and told me it's a very dry subject. It's a very dry subject. People keep telling you, I am the self, I am the self, I am the self. It's a very dry subject. So you have to really have a very sharp, focused, purified mind to understand and grasp this subject. So this is Paramam Guhyam. And it cannot be just shared with anyone. Okay, it's a supreme secret which should be shared with Madbhakteshu. Madbhakteshu means my devotees. Because it is such a subtle subject that not everybody is interested to listen to this. So Krishna says, share the teacher who shares this very subtle knowledge with those who are devoted to me, who have supreme devotion, Madbhakteshu, who are my devotees. And who are the devotees of Krishna? Who are the devotees of this listener? How do you, what are the qualities of this listener? What should be the qualities of this listener? He says, Madbhakteshu, my devotees. Meaning those who should have certain qualities to listen. What are those qualities? Huh? Must be what? Mumukshutu. Some of?
Humility.
Humility, some of?
Discipline.
Discipline. And you all forgot the last week's verse. Huh? 67 that tells all the qualities of the listener. So, non-critical mind, exactly. So, whatever the qualities given in verse 67, the teacher will have to share the knowledge with those people who possess these qualities. That is a Madbhakta, the real true devotee of God, who never tires of listening to the glories of the Lord, who never tires to listening to this knowledge, constantly is attracted to this knowledge. So, Madbhakteshu. And with what attitude also? See, it's very important. So here he's telling the teacher also, what attitude? He says the listener should be my devotees. But what about the one who's teaching this knowledge? What is that attitude which the teacher should impart? Kritva. Kritva means by entertaining. What? Param Bhaktim. The teacher also must have supreme devotion for the Lord. So it is not only the listener who should have the supreme devotion, the teacher also should have that supreme devotion. Param Bhaktim Mayi, to me, the Supreme Lord. So that means what? If I teach this knowledge with the supreme devotion of the Lord, I have to understand it is my duty and it is a service I am rendering to the Supreme Lord. So this teaching should not be imparted with the idea to seek self-glorification, to seek name, fame, reputation. That's why he's saying you should teach with that supreme devotion to the Lord. Because you are doing a service to the Lord. You are not doing it to attain more name and fame and a good reputation. Or you are seeking material rewards, that somebody will give you money or will reward you with certain things. So that is not the object of sharing this knowledge. So he's giving a very, instructions also to the teacher. Okay, so right attitude of the teacher must be there. And then, yet he says, I promise you some reward. You don't have to seek the reward. But Krishna says, to the one who imparts the knowledge, even though you don't seek any rewards, I will promise you that there's a reward. What is the reward? Eshati. Eshati means that teacher of the sacred knowledge will reach. Eshati means will reach. Mam eva, me alone. Will reach the Lord, will be one with the Lord. And again, you must understand that is upon exhaustion of the prarabdha karma. That prarabdha karmas you cannot run away from. But the one who imparts the knowledge upon the exhaustion of the prarabdha karmas, need not go to Swargaloka, need not take any birth back in this Bhuloka, but will merge directly with the Lord. And to give a guarantee card again, he adds in one more guarantee. He uses the word, in the fourth line you see the word Asamshaya, let there be no doubt. Krishna is saying, I'm giving a guarantee that this devotee of mine who imparts the knowledge will attain moksha. Asamshaya, there is no doubt about this. Right? So this is the instructions he's giving to those who want to share and impart the knowledge. Right? So it is a very, it's a promise by the Lord. He's giving us the promise. And in the next verse, 69, he explains that why is this devotee so dear to him, the one who imparts this knowledge. So he says, among all the devotees of the Lord, that means all those who worship the Lord in their own way, here in verse 69 he says, among all the devotees, who is his most beloved devotee? So he says here, Tasmat, as compared to all the other devotees of the Lord who are engaged in varieties of spiritual practices, Na Kaschit, there is no one else. Nobody can be equal to this teacher of the one who imparts the Gita knowledge. And among who? Manusheshu, among the human beings, because it is only the human beings who have the capacity, the intellect, to acquire this knowledge and to share this knowledge. So that's why I always encourage many students here to start also, as you acquire, you should also start sharing the knowledge, because it also helps you on the spiritual path. Na kaschit, there is nobody else, no other devotee among humans, manusheshu, who is priyakritama. Priyakritama means who does the most dearest service to the Lord. He considers imparting the knowledge is the most dearest service to the Lord a devotee can offer to the Lord. And why is the imparting the knowledge of the Gita the most dearest service to the Lord? Why is, does he say that? What is the reason behind it? Why does he consider the most dearest service you can do for the Lord is by imparting, by sharing his knowledge with others? To get rid of? Ignorance, yes, true. The only means to moksha. Because every other knowledge that we share, for example, whatever knowledge we share to teach somebody to do rituals, to do prayers, to chant mantras, whatever knowledge we share will not take that devotee to moksha. So it is only by sharing knowledge with others that we give them a chance to work towards moksha. That's why he considers that the most greatest service. There are so many other branches of religion. People teach how to do rituals, how to do prayers, how to do japa. All kinds of what we call philosophies are there in spirituality. But here he is saying the most superior service that you can do is share this knowledge with others, because it will help them and will move them towards moksha also. By teaching the Gita, it helps them towards moksha. And he says, there has never existed in the past, Bhavita, nor there will be in the future. Neither has there been in the past, neither will there be in the future, a more greater devotee who is Priyatara, who is more dearer to me in this world, Bhumi. So that means all the saints and sages who have come and who are to come, who are going to share, who have shared and who are going to share the knowledge, Lord considers them the most greatest among all his devotees. So now he has spoken about the glory of the one who imparts the knowledge. Now of course the students will ask, that's not fair. What about us? Why nothing spoken about us? So he has to also tell us what is the glory of the receiver of the knowledge. So that he has not told yet. So why should be why does Krishna need to tell the glory of the listener also? What is the reason? Encouraging, so that you will come back for next week's class. So you say, why should I come? Only the teacher getting the glory, we are not getting any glory. Okay. What is the glory or the result for the devotees who are receiving this knowledge? So for that you must understand there are two types of devotees. There are two categories of Gita students. One is who is dedicated to committed systematic study of the scriptures under the guidance of the Guru, as which is going to be discussed in this verse 70. This is a committed student of the Gita. One who is very dedicated, very committed, very systematic. So this study of the Gita, systematic study of the Gita, is known as Adhyanaman. Adhyanaman. A-D-H-Y-A. Adhyayanam. A-D-Y-A-N-A-M. Adhyayanam. Okay. So where there is consistent, dedicated study of the Gita, this is one type of devotee which is going to be mentioned in verse 70. Then there is a second type of the devotee who does not go through a systematic study of the scriptures, but just goes and listen whenever he or she can, just listens to spiritual discourses, which is going to be described in verse 71. So there is only Shravanam. What's the difference? Second type of devotee, there is Shravanam, but there is no Mananam, there is no Vidhyasana. So there are two types of devotees. One who are systematic, dedicated to the knowledge, where there is Shravanam, Mananam, Vidhyasanam, which is described in verse 70. And in verse 71, the other type of student who just merely listens. There is only Shravanam. Okay? Both type of students will get a result. And what is the result? The first type of student will definitely get moksha. So not only the imparter of the knowledge will get moksha, the receiver of the knowledge also will get moksha. The second type of devotee who just listens will get punyam to go to Swargaloka, or will get punyam to be born in a environment where he can proceed somehow with this knowledge. Okay? So here he says, now in verse number 70, describing the first type of listener, yaha, he who adyeshate. The word adyeshate, which you see in the first line, means one who will study. One who studies. Studies what? Imam avyayo, imam this avyayo of ours, what? Samvadam. Samvadam means a dialogue. Okay. Now samvadam has got a very special meaning, because when we say samvadam, the translation is sacred dialogue. So sacred dialogue is different from any other dialogue. There are many types of discussions people can have, which is just a waste of time. Or people sometimes have discussion just to prove that you are wrong. You take one position, I will take another position. But samvada means a very sacred dialogue where there is honest discussion in order to arrive at the highest truth. So it is done out of humility, it is done out of love of God. So it is not just any dialogue. The word samvadam is meant to be a very sacred dialogue for the purpose of arriving at the truth. And this Krishna Arjuna is dialogue is considered a samvada. If you know every chapter when you recite, right? Sri Krishna Arjuna Samvade. So the word samvade comes there, right? Just now we chanted chapter 12 at the end. We recited that, right? So samvada, it is a very sacred dialogue. Okay. And therefore, Krishna uses the word dharmyam. It is very sacred. a sacred dialogue. And when he uses the word dharmyam, what does he mean? Sacred because it is based on Vedic teachings. We must remember this very important point. The Bhagavad Gita is a condensation of the Vedas. It will never contradict the Vedas. Because the Lord gave the Vedas at the beginning of creation, now the Lord is coming back in the form of Krishna to simplify that knowledge of the Vedas in a very simple Krishna-Arjuna dialogue of 700 verses. So the teachings of the Gita conform to the teachings of the Vedas, but there are a condensation. So that's why they are also considered dharmyam, sacred also. Then he says, Tena, by such a student who dedicatedly studies this Sri Krishna Arjuna dialogue, through the study of this dialogue, see the beauty of this, see, just by studying this dialogue, dedicated, with dedication, with commitment, Krishna says, Aham, I the Supreme Lord, Shyam shall be Ishtaha, shall be worshipped. So this tells us the glory of studying this Bhagavad Gita, this supreme sacred dialogue. It is a form, Krishna considers it as a form of worship to him. It is not necessary for us to offer him flowers, offer him fruits, or go to pilgrimages. He is saying, just by studying this dialogue, you are worshipping me. What a beautiful thing. It is just by sitting in our house, no need to go anywhere, no need to spend any money. All you have to do is what? Give your time and attention. It is a form, studying this sacred scripture is a form of worship to the Lord. So, as you remember that what you are doing when you are studying the dialogue or the scriptures of the Bhagavad Gita is a form of Jnana Yajna. So what is Jnana Yajna? It is the most highest sacrifice or the most highest worship you can ever offer the Lord. Which is said where? In chapter 4, verse 33. We go back to chapter 4, verse 33, on page 94. Chapter 4, verse 33, page 94. There Krishna said, sacrifice in the form of knowledge is superior to sacrifice performed with material things. Whatever material things you offer as worship to the Lord, the most supreme sacrifice is what? Sacrifice in the form of knowledge. So your study of the scriptures is the most highest worship you can ever offer the Lord. That is what he is saying. It is the most superior form of. Consider it as you sit down and study the scriptures. You are not just studying an ordinary dialogue. You are offering your, through the study of the scriptures, you are offering your worship to the Lord. He considers it the highest, the most highest form of worship. Aham Shyam, I shall be Ishtaha, I shall be worshipped through the study of this dialogue. And again, he confirms it by adding an extra guarantee there. What he says, iti me mati, iti, this statement which I made, is me mati, is my conviction or my judgment. So again, it is not just a simple utterance like that. The Lord is giving us his assurance that I am telling you that if you study this sacred dialogue, it is the highest form of worship that you can offer. So that is the glory of the Gita student, a dedicated, committed student who studies this dialogue or studies the Gita scriptures to attain self-realization. Now in verse 71, what about the one who just listens? Okay. Some people just like to go and listen. They don't take notes, they don't do mananam, they don't reflect, but they just like to go and listen. Now what about that kind of devotee? Okay. Yaha Naraha, that person who listens, to this three Krishna Arjuna dialogue, but he qualifies that not just simply listening, not just go there, listen, but there must be one extra quality of the listener. What is that? The listener must be with faith, Shraddhavan, must listen with faith, endowed with faith. So it must not just be mechanical listening. He's not speaking about his listener who's just listening mechanically just to go and pass the time, right? But listening backed by faith. So what does listening backed by faith, what does it lead to also? If you go back again to chapter 4, verse 39, there's a beautiful sentence there, chapter 4, verse 39, page 96. Chapter 4, verse 39, page 96. If you just see the first line, very beautiful line. Shraddhavam labhate jnanam. Shraddhavam, the one who is endowed with Shraddha, with faith, labhate, attains what? Jnanam. You will attain that knowledge. So the mere listening also will with faith will slowly make you absorb this knowledge. So if you listen with faith but not mechanically. So that is the glory of the one who listens endowed with faith. That is the first qualification of the listener. Listen with faith. Okay? And you will definitely attain that knowledge also. So you will become like what? That devotee who is described in verse number 70. Eventually, you will progress to mananam and nididhyasana. So sometimes people wonder, if I just listen, does it help? Yes, if you have faith, if you listen with faith, eventually you will get engrossed in this knowledge. And if we think about it, all of us started that way. We went about listening. Then we got more interested in the knowledge. Why? Because we had faith in the knowledge. And then we progress deeper and deeper into the knowledge. And then there is the second quality of the listener, which is mentioned in the first line of verse 71, anashuyaha. There must be no caviling, free from fault finding. So don't listen with the idea to find faults in the scriptures. Have faith and don't listen for the purpose of looking for defects in the words of the scriptures. You can question to remove your doubts, but don't listen with the mere purpose of finding defects in the scriptures. So here Krishna says, such a kind of devotee, api srunuya, api means merely, api srunuya, merely by listening with faith and listening not to find fault in the scriptures, what will happen? He says, saha muktaha, will be liberated. Now again, liberated from what? It does not mean that just by listening with faith you will attain moksha. So what he means by you will be liberated from what? What will you be liberated from? You won't be liberated from samsara. What will you be liberated from? Just by listening with faith. Doubts will go away. What else? Impurities also will go away. So what you will be liberated from? Because the power of the dialogue between the Lord and Arjuna, this sacred dialogue, just by listening with faith, has the power to cleanse or remove the impurities from our mind. So he says you will be liberated, meaning here you will remove all those dirt and impurities from your mind just by listening. Okay? And then what happens to this person after which he gets the purified mind? He says, then, having attained the purified mind while you are living, upon death what happens? Prapnuyat, you will attain Subhan Lokan. Subhan means blessed worlds, which means upon death you will attain Swarga Loka. So the benefit of listening to this, because you have not yet absorbed the knowledge, but because you have purified your mind, so upon that you will attain the Swarga Loka. Then what happens when you attain the Swargaloka? Then he says, after attaining Swargaloka, this Punya Karma Nam, he mentions these people. Punya means virtuous deeds. Karma Nam, those who have done virtuous actions. So what it is telling us, that listening to the dialogue also, listening to the scriptures, it itself is a Punya Karma. It is a virtuous action. It definitely has the cleansing benefits. So not only doing seva, not only doing dhanam, not only doing prayers, but just by sitting down and listening with faith is equivalent to a Punya Karma. That definitely will definitely cleanse all the impurities in your mind. So, and it will take you to Swargaloka. And then of course, what happens after Swargaloka, that was described to us in chapter 6, verse 41 to 44. We go back to chapter 6, verses 41 to 44. Where Krishna described this person. Let's see what page is it. Page 131. Okay. Verses 41 to 44 here, Krishna was describing about this devotee who is on the spiritual path but in this life does not attain moksha. Okay? Because of various factors, does not attain moksha, but he or she is very dedicated, very serious on the spiritual path. So what happens to such a person? Person of meritorious deeds, Punya Karma Nam, okay, the one who has accumulated so much of Punya, goes to Swargaloka, resides there for a number of years, and then comes back to the house of pious and wealthy men. So you are given, now why it says pious or wealthy? Because the obstacles to your knowledge, for example, if you couldn't progress because you had a lot of financial problems or many financial commitments, so the next birth, all these hurdles are removed from you. Not that you are going to be super, super rich, but you are going to have the financial obstacles first removed from you. Pious also meaning you are born into that family where the parents also are able to guide you on the spiritual path. So you get such a favorable environment also. And in the next verse 42, he says there is still one more higher birth where you are born in the family of enlightened yogis, where the family itself are all very enlightened people. So there are two possibilities where you can go. The idea is from there you will proceed further. So what is the glory of listening with faith and non-critical approach? You accumulate punyam. The punyam purifies you. The punyam then takes you to Swargaloka. After Swargaloka, you come back in a better environment where you can progress further on your spiritual path. This is also mentioned in verse number 44 of chapter 6. See, 43 and 44. If you look at 44, that he says that this, what we call these vasanas, will drive you further in your current birth. The pure vasanas that you have accumulated in your past birth, when you take this present birth, they will drive you further to the path of knowledge. So you carry that punyam with you. That is the glory of just listening to the scriptures also with faith also. So now we come back to verse number 72. So the glory of the student, the glory of the teacher, all has been given here. Okay. Now, where does Arjuna fall in? After listening to all this, Arjuna must be wondering, in which category do I fall now? So, verse number 72. He has also heard the teachings with faith, okay? And he also has no doubts because he has accepted everything that Krishna has said. So, here now, Krishna is telling him, Arjuna, he wants to know now. He is questioning Arjuna. Kaschit etat. Whether etat, meaning this knowledge which I have imparted to you, okay, the same knowledge Krishna said in chapter 4, the same knowledge which he had imparted at the beginning of creation, which was given in the form of the Vedas. Krishna has said in chapter 4, the same knowledge I have come to impart to you in the form of the Gita. Okay? So he is asking Arjuna now, this knowledge which I have imparted to you, Srutam Tava, Srutam, have you heard? Has it been heard, Tava, by you? Has it properly been heard by you? Has it been heard with faith? Has it been heard with what he says here? Wants to know that Arjuna has not just listened mechanically. So again, he is specifying the quality of the listener. Arjuna, have you listened? And have you listened ekagrena? Ekagrena means with single pointer. Chetasa, mind. Have you listened to my teachings with a single pointed mind? Has your mind not wander off here and there? Have you been thinking about the war? Have you been thinking about your duty? Or have you been paying full attention to what I have been saying? Okay? This is what Krishna is questioning Arjuna. Or have you been thinking about running away from the battlefield, taking sannyasa? Have you listened to my teachings with a single pointed mind? Okay. Now, so if you have listened to this dialogue with a single pointed mind, and you have reflected and understood these teachings, now Krishna is asking, Kashchitte, has your Agyana Sammoha. Agyana means ignorance. Sammoha means delusion. Because these are the two main problems that we face. All the problems we are facing in samsara is because of these two main qualities or two main impurities. One is Agyana, which is our ignorance. Ignorance of what? Ignorance of what is my purpose in life. We are totally ignorant about this. What are we supposed to do? As a human being, we are totally ignorant of what is the reason we have taken this human birth. And there is only one way to destroy ignorance, and that is through knowledge. To understand the purpose of your birth. To understand why you have taken this human form. And moha, the ignorance causes our delusion. And what is the greatest delusion that we all live under? I am this body, number one. Number two, what is the greatest delusion we all live under? We seek permanence from the impermanence. We seek permanence from the impermanence. The world is impermanence, but we keep on searching for that permanent happiness in the impermanent world. Through people, through relationships, through objects, we keep on searching for this permanent happiness. But the scriptures are telling us, happiness permanent, there is temporary happiness in the world, but there is no permanent happiness. And then they give you the direction where to seek that permanent happiness. So through knowledge, it will also remove our ignorance, so our delusion. So he is asking now of Arjuna, Agyana Samoha Pranashtas, has it been destroyed completely? After listening to all the teachings now, reflecting on my words, has your ignorance and delusion pranashtas been totally destroyed? Okay. And what was Arjuna's moha, delusion? He came to the battlefield, and instead of seeing it as a war between dharma and adharma, Arjuna fell into such a state of delusion that he saw the war between relatives. Whereas he should have looked upon this war as my duty as a Kshatriya, that I am here to protect dharma. It is not important who is standing on the other side. As long as they are propagating adharma, I should do my duty and suppress that. But he fell into the state of confusion, into the state of delusion, and he said that in chapter 2 verse 7, when he surrendered to Krishna, he said, my mind is in a state of delusion. I do not know what is my duty anymore. I am confused as to my sense of duty. Am I supposed to shoot arrows into these people, or am I supposed to worship them because they are my elders, they are my gurus? Am I supposed to garland them, worship them, or am I supposed to shoot arrows into them? So he was totally in a state of confusion. So he is asking Arjuna now, has this ignorance and delusion been totally destroyed? And because of that, Arjuna thought, in chapter 3 verse 1, he told Krishna, why do you push me to do this dreadful action? He considered doing his duty as a dreadful action. He could not see that it was his duty to do. So whatever it is, our duty is often not pleasant, but duty is duty that has to be done whether it is pleasant or not. So now in verse 73, Arjuna confirms to the Lord. Krishna has asked, has your delusion gone? So what does he answer? Arjuna confirms, he has listened to the teachings of Sri Krishna, he has understood the knowledge, he does not need any more further instructions. So he says, moha, my delusion, nashtaha, it is totally destroyed. And once the delusion is destroyed, what happens? Smitir labdaha. Smitir means my memory. What was my previous thinking before I fell into the state of delusion? Before Arjuna fell into the state of delusion, he came very much prepared on the battlefield. He was ready to fight. He knew exactly what he had to do. He picked up his bow and arrow. He sounded his conch. He told Krishna, take my chariot in between the two armies. Sena yor ubhayor madhye. So he was very clear. But that whole understanding, his memory was totally overpowered by his delusion. So many things can overpower our sense of understanding or knowledge. Sorrow, all kinds of negative things, anger, greed, lust, jealousy can always overpower our sense of righteousness. What to do, what not to do, we often know. But when these negative qualities overpower us, we end up doing the wrong things. Or we are confused, we don't know how to make the decision. So he's saying now that moha nashtaha, my delusion has destroyed, smitir labdaha, my memory has been regained. I remember very clearly, 13 years I was suffering in the forest because of the Kauravas. 13 years suffering in the forest, what was Arjuna doing there? Preparing for war. He was not doing meditation, studying the scriptures and all that. He had ample opportunity to do that, but instead he was burning for revenge. So he's saying, I'm remembering everything now, how much we have been insulted, our kingdom has been wrongfully snatched away from us. When we agree to all the conditions of the Kauravas, that we will go in exile, when we come back we will get our kingdom back, but they broke all their promises. So now I understand everything very clearly. And also don't forget, when he came back to Hastinapura, he even asked Krishna to be his charioteer to help him in this war also. Okay. So now he says, my memory is very clear. Due to what? To what? Prasadas. So Arjuna also understands that why he has regained his memory, why his delusion has been destroyed. So he doesn't take full credit for it. So he tells Lord Krishna, to what? Your prasada, by your grace. A very humble student. He owes the destruction of his delusion and the return of his memory to the Lord himself who has given him this knowledge. I am thankful for your grace. You have patiently answered my questions. You have endowed me with the right knowledge. Now, therefore, he says now, earlier on, when Arjuna was afflicted by this moha and by delusion and ignorance, he sank back on his seat of the chariot. If you remember in chapter 1, He put down his bow and arrow, he sank back on the seat of his chariot, but now he declares to Krishna, now that I am very clear, Sthitaha Asmi, I stand firm. I am ready now to do battle. Sthitaha Asmi, I stand firm. I hold my Gandiva bow firmly in my hands, the very same bow that he threw away in the very first chapter. And my mind is free. And finally he declares to Krishna, Karishye Vachanam Tava, Karishye, I shall follow, Karishye Tava, your Vachanam, your teachings, your instructions. So again, we have the willpower, whether we have the, what you call, free will, whether we choose to follow the Lord's teachings or we choose to ignore the Lord's teachings. So here Arjuna is saying, I understand. Now it does not mean when we say I follow the Lord's teaching means we have no willpower. We have willpower to choose whether we want to follow or we want to ignore. And here Arjuna says, I will follow your teachings. I have understood the knowledge. I have understood the benefit of this knowledge. It has cleared my mind, removed my ignorance. I am ready to do as per what you have instructed. Okay? Now, basically the whole dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna is over. The last final verses from 74 to 78, Sanjaya takes over. And he gives us the conclusion as to this dialogue between Lord Krishna and Arjuna. So all the while he has been narrating to the blind king in the palace of Hastinapura what is happening on the battlefield. Now Sanjaya gives his conclusion. He says to the blind king Dhritarashtra, I have also heard this sacred dialogue. So it was not only Arjuna who heard the sacred dialogue, but it was Sanjaya who was gifted with Divya Drishti by Vyasa. Vyasacharya had gifted Sanjaya this Divya. Divya means divine, Drishti means vision. That by sitting in Hastinapura, what is Hastinapura? Today is called Delhi. That is Hastinapura. The old name for Delhi was Hastinapura. This battle was taking place about 150 kilometers north of Hastinapura in a place which is called Panipat. If you go there, somebody just visited and came back. He told me there's a museum that depicts all this Mahabharata war and everything is there. The old depiction of the Mahabharata war, everything is still there. The tree where Krishna Arjuna dialogue took place, the tree also is still there. So Sanjaya could see, could hear everything that is happening on the battlefield and he was reporting it. So he's saying to the blind king, I have heard this sacred dialogue. Imam Samvadam. Samvadam, as I explained to you, is a sacred dialogue. Aham Ashrausam, I have heard. So now how many people have heard the dialogue? Arjuna has heard. Sanjaya has heard. Hanuman has heard. He was on the flag. Who else? Huh? The blind king has heard. Some more? Ganesha. Yes, Ganesha has heard because he had to write it down. And who else? I think that's about it, right? Five people.
Six.
Who's the sixth? Arjuna. Arjuna also has heard the dialogue. But you can see the different effect on everybody. Dhritarashtra has heard the dialogue, but to him it has made no difference at all. He still remains stubborn there. But Arjuna has heard the dialogue, it has made a change in him. To Sanjaya also it has made a change in him. So that means not everybody listening to the dialogue is going to have a change. It depends on your own faith and on your state of mind. Right? So imagine at that time, Krishna was there, he advised Duryodhan, yet Duryodhan did not at all listen to Krishna's teachings. So even God is there next to you, teaching you, but you still don't want to accept the teaching. So not necessary that everybody hears these teachings will have an impact. So now he says, what he has heard, Vasudeva, Parthasya, Vasudeva, I have heard this marvelous dialogue between Vasudeva, meaning Sri Krishna, and Partha, meaning Arjuna. Okay? And I have been so fortunate, I've been so blessed to hear this dialogue. So he grasps the meaning of this dialogue. It has made a change in him. And how does he describe the dialogue? He's so overwhelmed by hearing this dialogue, the supreme teachings of Krishna. He says this is adbhutam. It is the most wonderful. It is the most astonishing. There are no words to describe it. Up to now, he has not heard anything more greater than this. This is the best thing he has ever heard. The wonder of all wonders. And because it is so inspiring, so wonderful, astonishing, as a result, he uses the word Roma Harshanam. Roma Harshanam means his hair is standing. Such kind of ecstasy Sanjaya is going through. He has heard this dialogue. He is so considers himself so blessed that he, can you imagine yourself if you were there on the battlefield and heard this dialogue between God and man, how we would feel also if we were there right and present there. So Roma Harshanam. If you remember, this Roma Harshanam also in chapter 1 was used by Arjuna, also the same words, his hair also was standing. But that time why his hair was standing? Because there was a fear in him for he had to kill all his beloved people. So hair can stand for two reasons. One is out of shock and fear. One is out of what we call ecstasy. One is out of ecstasy. Here, Sanjaya's hair is standing because of ecstasy. Verse 75. He says, again, he pays tribute, he pays homage. There's so much of humility in Sanjaya also. He realizes he's been so fortunate to hear this dialogue, be inspired by this dialogue. Why? Vyasa Prasada. By the very grace Prasada of sage Vyasa. Because if Vyasa did not endow me with the Divya Drishti, divine vision, I would not be able to hear what is going on the battlefield. Okay? And because of that, Aham Srutvan, I have heard Sakshat, directly. So this is not Sanjaya hearing through a third party. He could directly see Krishna, he could directly hear everything. He received the knowledge directly, just as Arjuna was receiving the dialogue, receiving the teachings. And what type of dialogue is this? Imam Paramam Guhyam. This is the most Paramam supreme secret. And furthermore, what we call, I have heard it directly, because we may also hear the dialogue from different gurus, different teachers, but Sanjaya is so glad that he has heard it from Krishna himself, directly from the lips of Krishna. Okay? So, Krishna, who is what? He describes Krishna here as the Yogeshwara. Yogeshwara means the Lord of Yoga. Lord of Yoga means the one who attracts us to him. Okay? Because another name for Krishna is Harshati iti Krishna. The one who attracts is Krishna. So beautiful, so wondrous is his form. Then just by looking at him, you get attracted to him. So Lord of Yoga, he says, I have heard it directly from him. Swayam, from the Lord himself. Now he concludes to the king. He says, Rajan, O king, here meaning the blind king Dhritarashtra, it has been my good fortune to hear this adbhutam samvadam. Again, he cannot seem to control his ecstasy, his excitement. He keeps on repeating again. He says, Imam adbhutam, this wonderful samvadam, this wonderful dialogue between Keshava Arjuna, between Lord Krishna and Arjuna, which is punyam. Now, when we call this dialogue punyam, what do we mean by saying that this dialogue is punya? What are you implying? He's saying, I consider this dialogue as punya. So what do you mean by punya? What does he mean by I consider this dialogue as punya? It's a purifier, because he said earlier, by listening to this, it purifies you. So just by listening to the dialogue itself, it has purified. Sanjaya understands this. By hearing the sacred dialogue, it has purified me. Okay? It has brought change in him also. And he says, I can't help it, but samsmritya, samsmritya. I keep on remembering and remembering this dialogue. I cannot stop my mind from recalling these words of Lord Krishna. Samsmritya, samsmritya. Okay? And as a result, Krishyami, I rejoice muhur muhur again and again. So he's feeling this sense of ecstasy again and again, recalling the words of the Lord himself, recalling this dialogue. He keeps on feeling so happy and excited. Finally he says in verse 77, Rajan, O King, Mahan Vishmaya, so great is my wonder upon seeing the Lord. He saw, don't forget, he also saw the cosmic vision of the Lord in chapter 11. Because when Krishna showed to Arjuna, Sanjay also could see everything, because he was describing it to the king also. So he's remembering this cosmic vision of the Lord he saw. Samspritya, samspritya. Again and again I keep remembering, not only remembering the words of Lord Krishna, I keep on remembering again and again this divine cosmic vision that the Lord showed to Arjuna. And what is that divine vision? Adyat Bhutam. It was extremely wonderful rupam. What a wonderful form also I saw. So fortunate is Arjuna, Sanjay. So now comes the concluding verse here. Sanjay gives the conclusion of this sacred dialogue. Now understand that the war is not over. Okay, the war is not over yet. Okay? But this dialogue took place before the war started. But I don't know whether you recall that on the 10th day of battle, what happened on the 10th day of the war? Bhishma Pita fell by arrows shot at him by Arjuna. He fell on the bed of arrows. So on the 10th day of battle, he fell. And Bhishma Pita was the commander of the Kaurava forces. So when the commander himself fell, you can imagine the shockwaves it sent throughout the whole Kaurava army. They were totally devastated. They never expected Bhishma Pita to fall. But when he fell, he did not die. Why? He was shot by so many arrows by Arjuna. And he fell on the bed of arrows, but he did not die. He was given a boon. He was given a boon by his father that he could decide when he wanted to die. And he had made a promise to his father that he will not die, will not rest until he makes sure that Hastinapura is very well protected. So he remained alive from the 10th day up to the 18th day, up to the end of the battle. And finally on the 18th day, when the whole battle was over and Yudhishthira and the Pandavas went to see him, he recited to them the Vishnu Sahasranam, the 1000 names of the Lord. Okay. So he stayed alive there. So now Sanjay is giving his conclusion, what is happening now. So what happened on the 10th day when Bhishma Pita fell? Sanjay was on the battlefield. He rushed back to the palace to inform the blind king that Bhishma Pita has now fallen. Then the blind king was shocked because he also never expected such a thing to happen. Then he told Sanjaya, now you sit here, you please tell me what happened in the days before the battle started. So this whole narration of Bhagavad Gita is prior to the battle. And then also he continued to narrate to the blind king what was happening day by day, because that time Vyasa had given him Divya Drishti. So he could narrate to the blind king everything that was happening during the 18 days of battle. So now the battle has not started, but this is the conclusion that Sanjay is giving to the blind king. Okay? What is the conclusion he is giving? He is saying, Yatra Yogeshwara. Yatra, wherever there is Yogeshwara Krishna, there is Krishna, the Lord of Yoga. Wherever there is Krishna, okay? Meaning what? Wherever the Supreme Being is there, wherever the blessings of the Supreme Being is there. Remember, Arjuna and Duryodhan had a choice. You remember the story, right? You all know the story. Arjuna and Duryodhan had a choice. By Krishna, He told them, either you can have my army or you can have me. And Arjuna chose the Lord. So whichever side is blessed by the Lord, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, wherever the Lord is, Yatra Partha, wherever stands Partha, meaning Arjuna. But what type of Partha? Partha is you and me, Arjuna. But what type of devotees of Lord we must be? What type of devotees we must be? Danudaraha. Danudara means one who is the wielder of the mighty bow. Means what to us? Huh? What? We are prepared to rise up and do our duties, not the one who threw his bow and arrow down, not that type of Arjuna. So Arjuna, what type of Arjuna, what type of us? The one who are prepared to stand up, rise and do our duties. Right? Not the defeatist attitude, the aggressive attitude, doing your duties. So wherever there is the blessings of the Lord, wherever we choose to stand up and do all our duties, okay, Partha, Danudara, and because for Arjuna case, he was using the bow and arrow to establish dharma. So in our case, we also should arise, do our duties, follow the path of dharma. Now what happens? He says, Tatra, on that side, where there is Krishna, where there is Arjuna, okay, and this means also the convergence of both Jnana Yoga in the form of Krishna and Karma Yoga in the form of Arjuna. So whenever there is both Jnana Yoga and there is Karma Yoga, when there is a combination of these two, what happens when there is this combination? Dhruva, there is firmly established what? Sri, good fortune. Now, good fortune here doesn't mean you're going to strike a lottery. So what does good fortune here mean? There are Sri, Vijaya, Bhuti, Niti. Four things he said. If there is a convergence of Jnana Yoga and Karma Yoga, when the blessings of Krishna is there, when we arise to do all our duties and responsibilities, four things we are graced with. Sri meaning good fortune in the form of spiritual growth. That's what it means. Not material growth, spiritual growth. There will be spiritual growth, number one. Vijaya, there will be victory. Victory over what? Over? Impurities. Impurities. You will get victories over all the impure thoughts in your mind. Jealousy, greed, anger, all this will go away. Third, bhuti. Bhuti means power. The willpower to progress in the right direction. So there is a force that will pull us in the right direction. Okay? Bhuti will be there. Niti, virtuous conduct. So these four are the things that you will be graced with. If you follow your duties and responsibilities according to Dharma, if you invoke the grace of the Lord, you will get three. Good fortune in the form of spiritual growth, vijaya, victory over the negativity, the impurities in your mind, bhuti, the power or the willpower to progress in the right direction, niti, you will get virtuous qualities. You will cultivate more and more virtuous qualities. 26 of these qualities were given by Krishna in chapter 16, if you remember the first three verses. He gave us 26 divine virtues. So more and more of these virtues will come in us if we follow the path of Dharma. And what does Sanjaya say? Mama Mati, this is my conviction. So Sanjaya is already warning the blind king that your children, first of all, they don't have the blessings of Krishna. Secondly, they are not even following their Dharma also. So they are doomed for destruction. In the end of the 18-day battle, in fact, there were only 10 people who survived the Mahabharata war. Out of 4 million soldiers on the battlefield, everybody perished except only 10 people. 7 from the Pandavas, 3 from the Kauravas. Even all the children, the 100 children of Dhritarashtra all perished. So Sanjaya is warning him, before it's too late, stop the battle. But did the blind king stop the battle? He did not. So blessed is that side which has the grace of Lord Krishna and Arjuna, meaning you and me who take up our duties and responsibilities. So it is customary, normally when we finish the reading of the Gita or the teachings, we recite the last verse twice, and followed by the you see that Om Tat Sat Iti. So we recite the last verse twice, followed by Om Tat Sat Iti. Okay. So we can recite together. Or you know how to recite, right? You all know, right? Okay. Let's recite together. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna Yatra Partho Dhanundara Tatra Sri Vijayo Bhutir Dhruvani Tirmatir Mama Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna Yatra Partho Dhanundara Tatra Sri Vijayo Bhutir Dhruvani Tirmatir Mama Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Supanishatsu Brahma Vidyaya Yoga Shastre Sri Krishna Arjuna Samvade Moksha Sanyasa Yogona Astadaso Dhyaya Hari Om Tat Sat Hari Om Tat Sat Hari Om Tat Sat Sri Krishna Arpanamastu Shubham Bhuyat Vasudeva Sudam Devam Kansa Charura Mardanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagat Guru. So what do we do now? Okay, basically so basically it's been 3 years, it's been a long journey, and I hope that all of you have benefited in one way or the other from the study of the Gita. And what are we going to do after this? As you all know that we are going to start the new classes in Brickfields at Brickfields Asia College every Saturday. From the timing has been changed from 4:30 to 6 p.m. Okay. So Brother Kumara has printed up this flyer. One, we need some assistance also, who can help to distribute these flyers to various religious organizations, temples, restaurants, etc. You can collect from Brother Kumara. Number two, to spread the message to your friends and relatives. We have this lecture hall in Brickfields Asia College, which can actually accommodate 60 to 70 people. So it's quite a huge lecture hall, and given to us by the grace of the owners of Brickfields Asia College. So classes will be there on Saturday, and you can come and attend. Okay? I know I said that those who are there, who are existing, should not come, but again, it's up to you whether you want to come. Okay? And what else I wanted to say? Yeah, and of course the Thursday classes in the ashram will carry on as usual every Thursday from 7:30 to 8:45. We are also in the midst of chapter 18. Once we complete, we will restart again in February next year in Gita Ashram. Okay? And the other thing is the Gita Ashram also is going to celebrate Hanuman Jayanti by the recitation of 108 times of the Hanuman Chalisa. It's going to be on this Saturday, 7th of October, from 9:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. So continuous 108 recitations of Hanuman Chalisa. You can come in at any time. You can sit for the whole 108, that's up to you. Or you can come in and go off anytime you want. So that is the current announcement. The other one is the Gita Jayanti, which is the 18 days program in Gita Ashram, where every day one chapter will be discussed. Okay, and 18 days you'll have all different 18 speakers and different posts. So that will be sometime in November. Just be on the WhatsApp group, we will keep notifying you about that. Okay, Now, the question is, next week, do you all want to have a final Q&A or do you want to just end it here? That's up to you. Okay? So, if you feel that you are quite okay, then we will end the last class here. Okay? So, it depends on your what you all want. Do you all want to have any final Q&A or do you want to wait until the next class? What's the date?
November the 4th,
okay? It's the Saturday, the first Saturday in November, November the 4th, okay? So if you all feel you're quite okay, you have enough of knowledge, then we will not have any class next week, okay? Then we end with a prayer to Lord Krishna.
Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kansa Chaturamardhanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishna Vande Jagadguru.
Thank you, Hari. Huh? Oh yeah, those who can join us for Tilas prayer, please come to Gomba.
We have about 15 people attending and everyone wants to join, please. 7:30.